Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray Dittiger is brought to you by Philly Cyberknife. If you're a loved one has prostate cancer, count on Philly Cyberknife, the area's most experienced team. Get the prostate cancer answer at PhillyCK.com. The legendary Ray Dittiger is online. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ed.
Ray, as you know, normally I am the one that loves to rip the refs.
Right.
Al's doing it today.
Uh-huh.
Ray, how bad were they?
Oh, really bad. Historically bad. I think that, you know, the league is really going to have to, I mean, I don't know how openly they'll discuss it, but they're going to have meetings today and all week and just look back at this one. This was really bad on multiple levels. In a game that had tremendous significance because it was basically a game to decide who was going to win this awful division. They were terrible. They were terrible right from the jump. I mean, literally from the opening kickoff. We've all seen a lot of bad officiating in recent years. I think it's been particularly bad this year, but I doubt there was any game all season anywhere that was officiated as poorly as this one was.
All right. Well, take us through the kickoff, Ray. Well, how did they miss both the actual fumble and then the recovery? How did they miss both of them with replay?
I have no idea. They're going to have to be asked that by the boys up on Park Avenue. I mean, that crew's got to be called in and asked about that. Just starting right from the opening kickoff, it was. I don't know how they need it. I don't know how they missed. I don't know how they got the down by contact initially anyway, because it was clear at first glance that the ball was out. I mean, I don't know why that was even had to be reviewed. It was clearly a fumble. That wasn't even in dispute. And then the ruling about we couldn't determine who came up with the ball is, I mean, I've been watching football a long time. I've never seen that one before. I just don't know how you could get that play so wrong.
All right, well, here's where, in a more general sense, right, did the officials determine the outcome of yesterday's game, in your opinion?
No.
They did not. Okay, because I kind of agree with you there. Even though they were awful, the fact that the Eagles' defense gave up 576 yards and couldn't make a stop in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles' offense was nowhere to be found for 40 minutes, right? I'm trying to assign blame here. Should I give more to the offense or the defense? How do I dole out my blame today?
No, it's the offense.
The offense. All right. Tell us what you saw there.
Yeah, well, the offense didn't show up until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't win in the NFL by playing one quarter of football. You just can't. And the defense, I thought the defense, look, I mean, the numbers are going to tell you one story. They gave up a ridiculous amount of yards, and Dak Prescott completed more passes for more yards than any quarterback who's ever played the Eagles in their history. I mean, those were both club records for completed passes and passing yards was the most ever against the Eagles by any quarterback.
Jeez.
So, the numbers tell you that the defense was awful, but I would tell you that I thought that they played as good as they could play, especially given the personnel that they had. I mean, they had three takeaways for the first time all year. That was the most they had all year. And, you know, they had to play 93 snaps. I mean, that's with a limited amount of bodies out there, and half of whom were guys that were practice squatters. So, I mean, they did all they could, and they certainly kept this team in the game you said that in the fourth quarter he couldn't get a stop. Well, they kept the offense in the game and gave him three quarters to take control of the game, and the offense couldn't do it. So, yeah, to me, if you're looking to assess blame, I'd put it on the offense before I'd put it on anybody else.
Okay, then. And Hollis has made this argument just a few minutes ago that because that's happening and you get a penalty on a conversion, right? Doug Peterson's trained us. You go for two there. And it didn't even sound like it was a serious consideration. Mm-hmm. 23-22, you're at the one-yard line. Do you try to get the lead there with a minute 39 to go?
No, I wouldn't have.
You do not?
No.
Okay. But you know Doug has done that a lot.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know, and I kind of thought he would. I kind of thought he would. I actually thought he might go for it even before the penalty. You know, I thought when when he had the choice there, I thought he might go for it right there, just given his nature.
Right.
I mean, it's, he's a guy that tends to go for it in those spots. But I think he had he just didn't feel good about the way his offense was executing in the whole game. And I kind of agree with him there. I mean, if you now when the penalty comes up, and then you have the option of taking it half the distance, and now you got the 2-point conversion from the 1-yard line instead of the 2, it becomes a different decision. You know, and but he said even then he was not going to take the points off the board, and I can't say I blame him. I mean, if he goes for it and they don't get it, you know, now you're kicking the ball back to the Cowboys and giving them the ball with a minute and a half to go, and you're behind now. And you know, it's very easy for them to you got to get the ball back and try and score, and that it would have been very easy. One first down ends the game. So there were a lot of things probably going through his mind. I mean, he realized his defense was probably pretty tired. And taking them into overtime, there was a chance that they might just run out of gas, which I think they kind of did. But on a day when you're 1-for-9 on third down and you're not executing or making plays in those kinds of situations all day, to put it all on one play like that, even a gambler like Doug, I think, realized that was an awfully high-risk decision to make.
All right, 1-for-9 on third downs. The guy at the controls is Carson Wentz. By the way, today is the anniversary of his torn ACL. 1 year ago today it happened. Analyze his performance yesterday, Ray.
Not very good. Not very good. And it's one of those examples why, you know, the statistics and the numbers can lie to you. I mean, if you look at he had 120.3 quarterback efficiency rating yesterday.
Right.
I mean, if you just look at that, you'd say, wow, he played pretty good. But the fact is he didn't. You know, I mean, it was for three quarters. I mean, he just couldn't make a play, really. He was just so off in his throws for most of the day. Now, give him credit in the fourth quarter for bringing the team back and giving him a chance to win at the end. I mean, he got it together in the fourth quarter and played better. But for three quarters, I thought he played very poorly. He had multiple opportunities, guys open down the field to make throws that could have been big plays. In a game when points were at a premium, I mean, he had some opportunities to make some big plays and just missed them, flat missed them. And there were even some shorter throws, like little swing passes and plays that they had set up in the flat, which with one block could have turned into a big play. And he threw the ball at their guy's feet or threw it over their head or behind them. And even some of the passes that he threw that were complete were behind the guys. They had to reach back and get them. No, I mean, from just the standpoint of throwing the ball and being accurate, he was very poor yesterday, I thought. I mean, you look at the 120, again, the 120 quarterback rating, it sort of suggests that he played well. But I think anybody that watched the game knows he didn't.
Absolutely not. Ray, one last thing, because this is kind of uncharted territory for Philadelphia as a sports city. You wrote the Eagles Encyclopedia. What's the lesson of this year after the Super Bowl championship to all of us? What did we learn this year? Obviously, they're not going to even make the playoffs, but I want to know what the lesson is. What do we learn here?
I guess it's still to be determined, Ange. I mean, this is the kind of year that was disappointing on so many levels and on so many different fronts that I think it's going to take a little time to assess. I think you're just going to kind of sit back and just really study it as an organization. I think as an organization, they're going to have to look at it. I mean, they're all going to have to meet. I mean, Howie and Doug, the coaches, the scouts, the personnel people, and decide, you know, okay, let's look back at this thing. You know, let's look at the personnel decisions that we made in the offseason. Let's look at the guys that we didn't re-sign. Let's look at the guys that we lost. Let's look at the decisions on the people we brought in. Let's look at the way we constructed our roster. You know, what was right, what was wrong? Certainly more things were wrong than were right.
Yeah.
You know, what do we have to learn from the draft? And the coaches, they have to do a real serious quality control thing largely on the offensive side. The idea that you were still this deep into the season, the worst first quarter offense in football, and you haven't been able to rectify that at all through an entire season, that's a problem. You have to look at your young quarterback, who I still believe is a franchise quarterback and a guy that has the stuff to win a championship. But I think you have to look at him and just decide, okay, how much of his performance this season is injury-related? How much of it is a matter of just trying to recover physically from the injury he had last year? And how much of it is genuine regression as a player? I mean, you have to kind of sort that out. A lot has to be done A lot has to be done. I think the idea of being the defending champ and having to deal with that, all of that stuff that goes with that, was new to this team, new to these players. I don't think they handled that very well. But I think top to bottom, it's a period of real reflection and reassessment for where this team is if they're going to move forward.
Absolutely perfectly stated, as usual. Listen, the only way to get past this is to go back to last year, and you could do that right with the cover of the Eagles Encyclopedia and a lot of new writing by Ray Dittiger. Get it for the holidays. Ray, you can almost ignore entirely what just happened and act like last year is the most recent thing, right, Ray?
I have ignored it as best I can, Ange.
That's a good business decision. The great Ray Dittiger. Thank you, Raymond.
Take care, Angela. Right. Bye-bye.
Great stuff by Ray, as always.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.